morning, everybody. Good to be back again. Today's episode, I think, is going to be quite a bit shorter, but it's something that's been on my heart lately, and it's something I put together briefly, and it's something I'm going to be sharing at a different session coming up related to my job. But I thought I'd kind of include you guys here on this as well. But before we begin, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll hop in. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord, for allowing us to wake up and see another day. Father, we just commit our lives unto you. May we live obediently to you, Lord. Help us to just live out your truth daily. Help us to just humble ourselves before you, Lord, and to live out our lives faithfully to you. God, I pray that this morning, the words I speak, may they just be helpful. Father, I pray that they're not a hindrance, Lord. And if I do say anything that's not of you, Father, would they just go in one ear and out the other, Lord? May your word be the only thing that goes forth. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have it with me, with you here, if you got a Bible with you, feel free to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be briefly looking at verses 13, and we'll probably read down to 16, and we'll briefly just discuss it. And again, this is going to be a much shorter episode, probably just a couple minutes, but I think it's important. Luke 10, verse 13, it says this. I'm reading from the King James Version. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon that judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Say that 10 times fast. In context here, before we dive in, Luke is talking about places the gospel's been preached and places where it hasn't been, and he's specifically referencing here Tyre and Sidon. And in essence, what he is saying about these cities is that they didn't necessarily have the gospel yet, or they didn't get the gospel, I should say. I may be wrong there, so feel free to fact check me on that. But Luke is saying if the works that had been done here in these two cities, if those were done there, they would have a while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Whereas Chorazin and Bethsaida, they had the gospel, they knew of it, and refused to still believe it. And it is clear here in Scripture that judgment will be far harsher on those two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, than it will be for Tyre and Sidon, based off of this graphic language that Luke uses here. It's quite remarkable. But what I wanted to kind of key in on is that last section in verse 13 where it says, "If which he's talking about the works again, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." And I actually kind of want to sit on that word for a minute, sackcloth. And that word in the Greek here is sakkos, or the Hebrew, if we were thinking about it, because it's used in the Old Testament as well, Hebrew would be sak. And that is sackcloth. Both of those terms are translated as sackcloth. So why is that important? Why are we spending some time talking about this Greek word here? Seems kind of simple, but I think it's pretty important for us. And it has to do with humility. Take a look at the world today, right? Sometimes I'll just scroll some of the news feeds, and I get like a news article in the email every once in a while. And even if you scroll social media nowadays, you see and get things like, I'm going to be making the most money. Like, that's my goal. I'm going to have all the money. I'm making six, seven figures. Like, that's going to be my end all be all. This job gives me the highest social standing and status. Like, I'm pursuing this career or this degree or several degrees because it's going to attain to me some level of respect from the community and my friends, and people are going to, when they see me, oh, wow, look at him, like, or her, like, she's just the cat's pajamas. She got everything that you could ever wanted. Or even I am better than you because of my degree, for example. You need these expensive clothes and these brands to be around me, or maybe you don't look like me, so don't associate with me. I just want you to think, any of these sound familiar to you? I mean, have you heard these? And I'm sure you have, right? Nothing has changed in terms of sin, right? Sin is sin. It was sin then, and it is sin now. It's going to be disguised and made appealing, but the tactics are the same today as they were when the Bible was written by God's appointed men, right? There's nothing new under the sun. So humility by sackcloth. Our society defines humility as weakness, right? Especially amongst men. You talk to any guy out there that has no biblical backing, does not believe in Christ, and you ask them what humility means and whether or not they have it, they say, absolutely not. That's weakness. There's no way. That's horrible. It'll be deemed as failure, right? However, according to the scripture, wisely put, rich with knowledge, a wise man accepts it, but a fool flees it. In the sackcloth described in the Bible, it wasn't your appealing, what's the brands nowadays, like Gucci, I think, or I think Ralph Lauren. I think that's a fancy brand. I'm not entirely sure. I'm a Western guy, so I played around in the dirt a lot, so I don't know these brands too well. Although my wife has helped me dress a little bit better nowadays, which I am thankful for. But the sackcloth, as described, it was rough and it was scratchy, it was unbecoming, but it was worn in times of mourning and deep sorrow. And it's quite interesting how God tends to respond favorably to humility over pride, right? Pretty interesting how seems like God's seems to respond a little more favorably to those that are who are humble and have completely erased, well, maybe not completely, but have are trying to remove pride from their lives. But don't lose sight also that this act of putting on sackcloth, it must come from a rent heart, right? You and I can put on an act, we can put on a show, but if it's not coming from a genuine heart of repentance, it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing to just, you become a Pharisee, basically. You think back to when Christ is addressing the Pharisees, when Paul is addressing the Pharisees. And they're telling these guys, you walk around in these streets like you're a chicken with your head cut off. Now, I'm paraphrasing, that's not scripture. But basically saying, like, you guys put on a good show, but if you look at your heart, if you look at the heart of things, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your own glory. So you have to be careful of that. I'm not saying we're talking about sackcloth. I'm trying to get to the root issue, the root of this imagery, and that is coming from a genuine heart of repentance, of humility. It has to come from a deep need for rescue by God, from God, and it's an admission and submission to needing Him and turning to Him, right? It's an attitude of the heart. What is the posture of your heart? Is it to show those around you that you're some righteous, higher up, humble, or sorry, righteous higher up, we'll say legalistic Christian, or is it coming from a place of, I am absolutely and utterly hopeless without Christ? Because given the current public perception and direction, we ought to endeavor to great lengths of humility. Pride has blinded many, and we need to be setting this example of humility to everybody that we encounter. What kind of message are we sending to those that we see in the public sphere, or at our careers, in our homes, to our families, to our wives, to our friends? If we are boasting in all of our own riches and glories and whatnot, and yet still on the side claiming Christ, what kind of message do you think you're sending? Our children, our friends, our family, our peers, they need to see those who they look up to living in humility. So, talking to church leaders, staff, you're in a higher up position in work, and quite honestly, whatever position you're in, where maybe you oversee people, if they don't see you living and working in humility, you are doing them and yourself a disservice. I'm not asking and telling you guys to go start throwing sackcloth on, but it's coming as a reminder mainly to myself, and that's why we're talking about it, is to remain in humility. Our enemy surely likes to take the things in our lives meant for good and distort them and to twist them and to turn them evil if we are not careful. For example, pharmacy, like, I'm a pharmacist, and in pharmacy school, I wanted to do really well. I wanted to do well to the community around me. I wanted to be a really good pharmacist. I still want to be an excellent pharmacist. But you can almost kind of hear in how I'm describing it there, where I could let that fear of not doing well, or wanting to pursue to be like the best in the nation, to skew my vision of why the Lord has placed me here and how He is going to work through me to bring glory to Himself and to save souls for Himself. But I am encouraging you, and I'm charging us to live in humility and to model this well for whether you're a teacher, for the students that you teach, for your employees at your job site. We need to hold each other and others around us that are Bible-believing Christians. We need to hold each other accountable for that. We can do that in love. We need proper discipline and appropriate praise. And we need to be known for walking in integrity and pursuing righteousness. And we need to recognize the value of being poor in spirit. And basically what that is, it's a being poor in spirit. It is a humble acknowledgement that we need God in everything, or we would perish without Him. That is what being poor in spirit is. This is partially stemming from a book that was placed in my office, actually, at my place of work. It's working through the some key Hebrew words in the Old Testament, and they're short chapters, two, 3 pages long. And this one popped up several weeks ago now, and it has stuck with me ever since. I will admit, I deal with bouts of pride. I have pride that I'm still weeding out in my life. Sometimes I'm not careful, especially with the position I have. Teaching, sometimes I can let that, we'll say, power or maybe perception that I have created in my own mind elevate myself higher than I should, and My gracious wife has been very loving in kind of giving me correction and pointing me back to humility and humbleness in Christ, and that's been incredibly helpful. And one of the biggest reasons why we're talking about it today, I think it's a good reminder for us all. But that is all I had for us today. Hopefully that is helpful. Again, shorter episode, probably coming up on 15, 20 minutes, somewhere in there. But praying that was helpful. If I can send out some prayer requests, coming into the second year of the fellowship at Cedarville, just prayer for the series that I am helping lead, that I am leading for the students over the course of this academic year, just for words to speak, for gospel response. Prayer for the students that the school year goes well and that they're able to not only train well to become excellent pharmacists, but more importantly, devout Christians that want to have Christ permeate every aspect of their daily lives, both now in school and when they get out to be an actual pharmacist. So just prayer for that. Prayer for my wife and I. We are house hunting at the moment, trying to figure out what that looks like and what's in the area, especially given the current climate. So prayers with that would be fantastic. But with that, I'll be working on the next episode, hopefully coming up a little bit sooner than the time frame between the last one and this one. But really do appreciate you guys that listen in. Love you all. Hopefully this is a good learning experience for yourself, as I'm learning as well, carrying this out. So appreciate y'all. Love you guys, and have a blessed morning.